Before we get started with the episode, golfers, playing better golf doesn't have to come from hours and hours of practice. Optimized equipment could be all you need to shoot lower scores. At Second Swing, our award-winning master fitters use state-of-the-art technology and world-class training and knowledge to dial in golfers every day. Whether you're a beginner, a seasoned pro, or anything in between, you will save strokes with a Second Swing Tour Van fitting. Schedule your fitting today at secondswing.com. Hey golfers, and welcome back to the Second Swing Thoughts podcast. It is episode 38, and we have Mr. Tyler Fitzel back with us today, master club fitter, as you guys know, and been on the YouTube channel several times, been on the podcast a few times. Tyler, thanks for joining, first of all. You actually, it's technically a day off for you, so the fact that you're even here is really cool that you're taking the time to do
this. Well, it's easy. It's like 8 degrees outside.
Yeah,
I can't
that's
golf.
True.
So
it's really is it the coldest it's been all winter almost? I mean, we've had the cold spells.
Yeah, we did.
Like, I don't know. This is just depressing because it looked like we were gonna get past another winter storm.
Yeah, and then
we were gonna have that again. And well, now it looks like it's gonna happen.
It's
weekend.
The whole upper Midwest too.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, obviously we're talking out of Minnesota here, but the reality is that the weather patterns have changed and everyone up here is cold. Everyone's gonna get some pretty substantial snow over the weekend.
Yeah,
or at least something that they have to go move around.
Yeah, it's sad. I know the high school golf seasons have just started.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Well, we've had, and the warmest weather they've had was like back on in January or February.
We've had probably like 2 months of the most unreal weather in terms of like it's been there's no water.
Right.
So it has been really really super dry, but there's also been no snow. You know, it's all melted off because there was basically nothing to begin with, and then it's warm enough that probably a couple dozen golf courses regularly were open.
Oh, yeah.
People golfing. So never seen it this early.
Right. Looks like we're going to be on pause here for a little bit. But, that's if we get to golf in February up here, it's usually a big deal. We'll maybe take a couple weeks off in March if that means playing some golf in February.
Right.
So, well, good. Tyler, we haven't talked to you since really kind of the beginning of the year when – some of these products were just launching and I kind of wanted to just first of all just kind of run through sort of the types of clubs and get your take on things, how they've been doing in the fitting bays. And so let's just start at the top of the bag with driver. I know you were very excited about the AI Smoke line. What's been your favorite driver or drivers in the fitting bays this year?
I look at it in two ways. Drivers in 2024 aren't all drivers that came out in 2024.
Okay.
So if you look at it this way, right, like what's been a new, a brand new club for the market this year versus, say, for instance, Ping or Titleist. They've been out a full summer already. And they both continue to do really well. Titleist hasn't added anything to their lineup.
Yeah.
But it still is one of the best drivers, with four models to pick from and so many different options. But also Ping is really super solid in that game. And I put them at the top as well. The new 10K is performing well. We're seeing really nice results with it. The beauty of it is like whether or not the 10K is going to work for you, they're still the Max, they're still the LST, the SFT. Like there's still other versions to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing a fitting yesterday, and I'd tried two different versions. I did a 10K. And then I said, no, let's just try the Max. And all of a sudden the Max just, maybe it's the shape, the look, whatever it was, it just becomes a hit. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is what's new in 24. And two things really stick out. First of all, Callaway is really doing well.
Yeah.
The AI Smoke and that lineup, again, when you have the ability to move weight around, so you can move it forwards, you can move it backwards, you've got a skirt, you have a draw version, you have a Max Fast version, like, all of these versions are giving the golfer better options. So like the fitter as well, it's giving us better options to get someone fine fit. The other one is just Cobra has really stepped up this year. Yeah. And they really produce in all the categories we're looking for. They're really good with ball speed. They're really good with spin. They're really good with adjustability. You can move some weights around forwards, backwards. You have some shaft adjustability. You can change the setting on that. A nice stable of shafts. All the companies have great shafts to start with. But when you put that together and all of a sudden you're looking at, you start talking about any Ping, any Callaway, any Titleist, some TaylorMade, you start talking about Cobra. There's so many choices.
Yeah,
so,
and I've heard it's a great year for
it
drivers.
It is.
All the fitters have been saying that. So it's a great time to get fit for a driver. And
it is. And we talk about,
maybe trade up the old one you got, right?
Yeah. One of the major things with drivers is we're always usually just trying to control launch and spin. You know, and the first thing is to find a loft.
Mm-hmm.
So you find a head and a loft that's going to work. We fine-tune on adjustments. And that's one of the things that I found this year is really, really easy with. Pretty much if we grab any one of these clubs, there's something that's going to work pretty well. And I don't know if I've seen a year where the equipment on the market right now is all better than pretty much everything that was on the market 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, interesting. Like, yeah, because I know there's been, over the years, there's been some series, I guess, that have really stayed on the top. I think back to G400 as being one of those. TaylorMade Sim was another one. The original Sim series was one that people loved for years after. So that's good, though, to see that the drivers are performing as to, you know, the standards that, I guess, what we're being told from the manufacturers.
Yeah, so. And we're going to start seeing a lot of the 24 stuff coming in used.
Yeah.
Because there are going to be plenty of people that they've purchased it. They maybe didn't, you know, it wasn't maybe their fit. We see that every day.
Yeah.
You know, we're a used club company, but the reality is, like, we're just a golf club company where the clubs come in, and if it's going to work for you, you know, we're going to get you in that. And so last, you were talking about Pings or Titleists or even Callaways from previous models. Those second, third generations, we have a lot of that stuff, which is still really, really super good. So if you are looking for, you know, if you're looking to upgrade and we don't want to try to break our budget, like going all in on that stuff, we certainly actually have a lot of great inventory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that is the absolute beauty of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, someone comes in, you sign up for a used fitting because we know we're not maybe going looking at that brand new thing. We have so many good drivers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go into any of the stores and there's a ton of the options there. Plus, obviously, any of the products are available on secondswing.com. So, let's go to kind of Fairwoods and hybrids.
Yeah.
Kind of the sort of the combination there. Is there a model that's really jumped out at you in fitting so far in 2024?
You know, that one's a little bit trickier. And I always say that about fairways and hybrids because it tends to be like most people hang on to fairways and hybrids way longer. So Ping, Titleist, I'd say TaylorMade, Callaway, they dominate the market with their fairways and their hybrids. I would say that for me personally, I love using something I can make more adjustable. So you take like a Titleist or a Callaway, and you have 4 degrees of adjustability. The same thing happens in their hybrids too. So I can take the loft only.
Yeah.
I can take a 20 up to 21, 22. I can take it down to 19. That's more adjustability for the long term. And that tends to be the best option because you can come to me and say, oh, you know, it's flighting a little low. Well, let's turn the loft up and see what happens. So,
because you're referring to, you know, when you fit a golfer into a particular fairway or hybrid and during that first fitting, they might be in a certain setting or a certain spec that in a follow-up fitting or maybe you have that relationship with the golfer and they say, you know, 2 months later, well, this is kind of flying a little bit lower than it was when I first had it. All right, well, let's tune the loft back up.
Right.
You know, something like that. And
yeah,
there's more options with
Titleist
and
Callaway.
Well, we
encourage that discussion too, is like even through our fittings, we're saying, hey, listen, come to us with any issues, concerns, topics, if you know, you want to adjust something.
Yeah. Well,
but I also think too is don't get me wrong. Like, it's not like, oh, hey, don't worry about some of these other ones. Because there are adjustability in TaylorMade. There's adjustability in Ping. The biggest thing is that you're usually looking at loft. We're usually the adjustability is awesome for all of these clubs now. Because I can more fine tune something. I really need something that's just a little bit higher, but I don't want it to spin. We have, you know, models that don't spin as much. We have models that spin a little bit more. We have models that you know, have more weight in the heel to help correct a little bit of the rightness or the leftness. And so we have that ability, and that's a huge piece of the puzzle. So on fairways right now, I don't know that there's a leader as much as everything. If you're looking for a fairway or a hybrid, it is absolutely the time to do it, because there's so many options, and that's what we want to do in a fitting, is weed that out. But you're not going to pick a bad one.
Yeah.
You're just not. They're all so solid, and they're crisp, and, you know, if there's a look for you in that kind of thing.
What about the, because, I mean, next we're going to go to irons. And not that you have to go by each subcategory of iron, but is there a model of iron that is standing out then? Because you said in fairways and hybrids, there's not really one that sticks out. Is there a model or maybe a couple models that really stand out in the irons?
I would say, that there is. I probably start back with the Callaway for a moment, because the AI Smoke iron, as well as the High Launch that they've got, is really, both for quality, for price, and performance, a great option.
Really?
Yeah. And one
which
of the,
one are you fitting more of, HL or the
standard? Probably just the regular Smoke to that. But so this goes for any iron in that matter. The iron we choose in kind of the categories between more blade-like or mid-size or more game improvement or larger. It depends on launch and spin. Right. So if you have someone that's coming in and they're not getting the launch and spin out of one of these irons, but they're just getting the ball speed, it's not going to usually work great. What we have to do is we have to get that ball in the air. Mm-hmm. We saw that happen a few years ago with new High Launch or HL. The companies are in tune with this, and so started increasing the loft again to help get more launch and spin. So someone may come in with the AI Smoke, and they may not be getting enough launch or spin with it. They're really consistent numbers. But if you go to the HL, we can get a little bit more loft on it. The same is true in kind of Ping's world, too. And Ping has introduced now their Blueprint S and T. Mm-hmm. They've also got out the new i530 and the G730.
Yeah, they got the whole spectrum. I mean, you go they Blueprint do. T to G730 and everywhere in between. There's several models. There's a whole spectrum of irons, you know, from the most player's iron you can look at with the Blueprint T.
Yeah.
And then up to the G730.
And so I find myself working with maybe a Blueprint S to an i230 to maybe an i530, you know, or a G430. The models really depend on launch and spin. It's kind of the same thing. The key factor for any fitting is really kind of looking at four things with the golf ball: ball speed, launch, spin, and then its direction. And so that being said, if we get something that launches appropriately, spins appropriately, that's usually going to be the one that starts to get us down the right path.
Yeah.
Because if you can't get the ball in the air with a 7 or a 6 or a 5 iron, right, then we have to start looking at either a different model of iron, or we have to go into something different, like maybe a hybrid or something.
Yeah.
I would say one of the surprises to me is how Sirixon, like the ZX7, maintains its ball speed with like 33 degrees of launch or a loft on it.
Yeah.
It maintains ball speed. It's very forgiving.
Yeah.
Another one that's hit really well, Larry will say this too. He said to me last night, he says, why don't you just keep the Wilson staff with you? I've gone through fittings and I've put that in people's hands and it's walked out the door. A lot. And the reason is like they've got a really, really good ball speed, but with loft. It's 34 degrees. It's got a huge cavity to it, but it's not jumbo.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you have feel, you get launch, you get spin.
Then it's a forged?
It is. It's a fully forged club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And
this is certainly a brand that obviously decades ago, Wilson was the top of the golf equipment game. But
yeah.
Now it's not necessarily as popular, but
the
irons are still, I mean,
specifically the Staff CB, the cavity back, it has really good jump or ball speed.
Interesting.
So we've seen some more ball speed. It's just that maybe a lot of tungsten they've got in it. They've got it really low. But the other part of that becomes like, that doesn't mean, like, for instance, their blade is going to be for everyone. And it doesn't mean, you know, the jumbo club that, you know, the 7-iron is really just a 4-iron. You know, some of the – and this goes for every company, right? They've got clubs where they've de-lofted them so much.
Yeah.
So that's why loft, launch, and spin are so important on it. Find the right type of loft if the book get the ball in the air. And then it becomes more about, like, how's that feel? How's that look?
Right.
You know,
that's
performance-wise.
Interesting that you know, because I know you know, Strixon's been great.
Yes.
Their last couple series have been awesome. The original ZX models, and then now the Mark IIs are even better. And then I love that you threw Wilson in there too, because that's a there's a group of commenters on our YouTube channel that frequently ask for Wilson. You know, where's the Wilson testing?
Yeah.
You know, and we don't do a lot of it, and a lot of that is just kind of the trying to match, you know, the demand for it. But if there's demand for it and the products are performing well, then
yeah, they are.
We'll throw them in there a little bit more. So
yeah, if you look at like the broad categories and you talk about a cavity back, everyone's got one, and they're most of the companies have something that's forged.
Yeah.
It'll stand up with any of them, and if for some reason this clicks with you, right, that's what we want.
Yeah.
I absolutely had someone come in with mirrors and say, well, I want to try mirrors, and we tried a couple of mirrors, and I said, try this once, because I know from just experience that the heads are made for the Wilson, a lot of their forgings are done in high-end forging houses.
Yeah.
Right? Like all the equipment is. It's not like this. They don't do it, you know, down the road here in someone's back garage or anything. It's like all really high end. And you know, I put this in his hand and he hits it and he goes, what is this? Well, hit a couple more. And all of a sudden we tried five or six different iron heads, you know, a couple of shots, and it wasn't even close. And he's just like, I never would have thought of it. But then
That's probably a similar reaction to most people. Like, they, you know, you think TaylorMade, you think Titleist, Ping, Callaway, you know, you think of these other ones, but that's interesting. That's good. I think that'll be something that I don't know, people watching this probably didn't expect, but that's something they can take note of if they're going to get fit this year.
Yeah, and I think just from a fitter's perspective, we talk about this amongst ourselves, is like, try to broaden out. We're non-commissioned. We're unbiased in terms of,
there's no advantage to you guys pushing a particular brand, or you know, even if it's, if you have a brand you personally like, it doesn't that doesn't help anybody to push that to your fitting.
I can't tell you how many times I fit a club that I'm never going to own.
Right.
Right. That's what I do all day long. I'm just trying to make sure that we find something that performs well, and we've got a lot of great options in that right now too.
Yeah. So, in the wedges, there's not really anything, I shouldn't say anything new, because obviously the SM10s are new.
Yeah, the SM10s, you know, came out.
There's, and the S159s are new as well, but is there anything, I know, and wedge fitting is a little bit different in the bay. You know, you got, you don't have sand to hit out of, you don't have bunkers to test out, you know, you don't have thick rough and different lies to test, but have you gotten any feedback maybe from people that have been fitting to any wedges, or
the general thing about wedges, as we talk about wedges, is pretty much every single company is using the same material, right? They're using the same sort of carbon steel, very, very similar. They're using the same sort of processes to make the grooves, and you know, to put mills on the face, and the shapes are very similar. What ends up happening with wedges ends up becoming a little bit more of the, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but it's the marketing spin to it, right? So, for instance, if you've got a raw face, like TaylorMade's got their raw face, or Callaway does too, you get into Ping. Ping completely redid their lineup with the S159. Really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the look is a lot more wedge-like. They're not quite as bulky. But then you look at SM10s, and Vokey has produced an extremely consistent, real solid, number one selling, number one played wedge. And the thing about when we start talking about wedges and is there anything new, the reality is there's not a lot new. And that's because I think a lot of these companies have gotten to a place where they don't want to change it too much. Because as soon as you start to change something too much, right, it's not a Vokey anymore. Well, I really like the 10, the 9, the 8, the 7, but I don't like this one. You know, you could just change one little thing about the shape.
Yeah, and they want to still revert back to what works and what people have liked.
And I really think that a lot of this, well, two things. I had a fitting, and I made a comment to the customer because I was very confused about, well, what about this bounce? Well, what about this grind? Well, what about this number? Well, what about this number? You know, the questions keep coming. That's great. I said, this kind of is a little confusing. And he says, yeah, it really is. I said, well, you can blame the marketing. Because the reality is, like, there's a loft and there's some stuff that they do on the bottom.
Yeah.
And then you play.
Yeah.
Like, every wedge is that way, too. So
yeah, you're right.
It we get into that. And I think that's a little bit of a deeper dive that needs discussion when we have an opportunity, is to really look at, like, what does bounce do? What does, you know, what's the leading edge, the trailing edge? We talk about the bottoms of these things. It really just depends on what you want to do with the bottom of that thing.
Yeah,
if you know, if you know what you're doing with
it. It's not really helpful to know all these things about what bounce is, what grind is, all these things, if you don't know how you want to use the wedge in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, or that part,
yeah,
that part is more important than knowing, hey, what is bounce?
And there's great tools that we have. If you go to Vokey's website, or if you go to Ping's website, you have an opportunity to, like, wedge fit. You can do wedge selector tools.
And I know you guys are using these in every wedge fit.
Every day.
And,
you
know, and
every
even sometimes with the iron, like an iron fitting, you might just say, all right, well, if we're going to tack some wedges on, here's what we recommend based on what your numbers suggest here.
You know, you can, you can do these things with these companies, and the reality is, like, they're trying to get to the same point without testing that we're getting to.
Right.
It's like, we're trying to go through a process that gets you down to, okay, if you like open face on your wedge, but you don't like this out of a bunker, versus I like to square this up, but I really want to use this one out of the bunker. Those are choices where we start talking about what's happening on the bottom because of how you use it. And and those are important. That's why a wedge fitting is awesome, because we have the time to actually go through those things. Plus, you know, it's free with purchase.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, we're talking about, like, number one, we'll answer your questions. We'll help show you what we're talking about. We'll test it so you can see what we're talking about there too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. And, you know, you talk to, I mean, a wedge game is as important as really anything, almost as important as putting, to lowering your scores and improving. Obviously, short game is vital there. So we'll talk about putters a little bit at the end.
Yeah.
I know
sure.
we got a couple models we wanted to go over a little bit, but the next section here, I kind of wanted to talk about, kind of club fitting misconceptions. This is a fun topic because it was sparked as an idea for a conversation, because I got a bunch of buddies that, you know, play a lot of golf, and they're always asking me questions about their equipment, and some of the questions that they ask, and they're not bad questions. It's just, I think they've been maybe fed an incorrect narrative prior about the fitting elements of a club or things of that nature. So I guess I wanted to ask you to kind of get things rolling. If there's a misconception that you hear from customers, hear from golfers, maybe the most, or a really common one that you kind of always end up talking about and trying to correct.
Well, number one, every single customer that says, well, the shaft is all that really matters. The shaft drives it. The shaft is the engine. No, absolutely not. The shaft is an extremely important piece of the club. But the reality, and I've heard this, I've heard other people on talking on other channels and golf shops and
other
fitters
outlets,
that are talking about, like, the shaft is the most important thing. And I look at it this way. The club head hits the ball. There's no way that the shaft can be more important than the head, because the shaft isn't making contact with the ball. So we're talking about the technology, the ball speed. Well, the head's going to drive some of that in the construction and technology. The loft on that. Loft and face angle mean more than anything for every single shot you hit. So loft is one of the huge things. And then how you use that in terms of its face angle, that matters more. But I remember talking with the lead engineer at Fujikura years ago, and I said that. People always come up to me and say, well, the shaft is it, man. The shaft is it. What do I, you know, what do I need? And he said, the shaft, the swing, and the club head are equally important. You can't have one without the other. A shaft is an inert object, so it's not going to do anything. You're going to do it to it. Right. And then the head is the same thing. Having a head down on the end of it doesn't mean that you're even going to hit the ball. Like, the swing matters, the shaft matters, and the club head matters.
Yeah.
And I would look at it, for most people, they understand some of these basics. They're talking about, I want to hit it longer, higher, farther, straighter. That's exactly what we want for you as well. But I think the next piece of the puzzle comes back into the dynamics of what the misconception of, like, the club's going to make this happen.
Yeah. So I think that's a good point, because I think there's, you know, there's obviously an element of, or a section of golfers that they just, they know they need to get the correct club head, the correct shaft. They need all these things. A lot of golfers don't even really think about shaft as part of the whole fitting process. And then there's also this category you're referring to where I don't need a new club head. You know, I've had this 3-wood or this iron set for 8 years, but I'm starting to launch it too low or whatever. Now I need to get my shaft. I need to get a shaft in there that'll help it launch higher. And it's like, well, or you could find the club head that has a lower center of gravity.
Yes.
Get that thing in the air. More and loft. A new shaft.
Yeah. Right.
And then you'll have much higher loft and much more.
That's something that happens a lot where someone comes in either with a broken shaft or an older driver and says, you know, maybe I'm getting a little older or a little slower and I maybe need a softer shaft and maybe I just need regular flex.
Yeah.
The reality is that if that shaft isn't appropriate for you, then the club probably is not either because it's a marriage of that, right? You might have a different grip.
Especially if you were fit before for this product or for this club.
Yeah.
The fitter is trying to, like you mentioned, sort of find the right marriage of the two that works for your swing at that time.
Yeah, and that's the other piece that really comes into play there. Your swing changes.
Yes.
The club doesn't.
Yes, it does.
I say this all the time. The club is the constant here. It's not the variable. What you do with the club is the variable. And so we get that a lot where, hey, well, you know, I'm thinking this is stiff and I don't need that. Yeah, but it's also 17 degrees. You also need like 22 degrees. Right. So it's not just the shaft in that. Another point about shafts that actually gets into the misconfusion side of this too is like where we talk about shafts, this is a low launching shaft. Well, put it this way, the best players at the elite level have low launching shafts and they hit it a mile in the air. So how does that happen? Well, it's because that's what their swing does. That's what their equipment does. Vice versa to that, you know, we see someone who goes, maybe I'll put a softer shaft or like a mid kick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it launches lower than the low one that they were just trying. Why does that happen? Well, if the shaft creates more lag, it might hang down and create a lower loft.
It depends on how the player swings.
Absolutely.
The transition and everything.
Right. Attack angles. Right. I can be moving up.
Shaft
I can be
flex
moving
is
down.
Not just swing speed, which is another one that
yes.
it's kind of a misconception in itself is that I think a lot of players think, well, I swing my driver this fast, so I need stiff flex, right? Or I need extra stiff because I swing my driver 110. And it's like, well, maybe and probably. But if you have a pretty slow transition from the backswing to the downswing.
Yes.
You don't generate a lot of lag, and you might not need extra stiff because that could actually harm you.
Yeah, and I, you know, you look at it. I kind of say it of all my fittings. I fit based on length and strength. We're gonna have certain measurables that we want to get based on body type, how tall you are, arms, things like that. But I say the strength part really falls into the idea of how heavy and stiff can I get before it's not gonna work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is like. If you just mentioned that, if you have a handle and you pull on that handle hard, if that comes like real aggressive in your transition, that changes where the flex goes. I had a guy yesterday, we talked about the transition in the flex and he wanted to test auto flex. Great. Well, let's hit auto flex. He says, man, this thing's, you know, feels really whippy back here.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is that when you pull on a handle, the flex starts here and goes backwards. And he immediately goes, oh, I never thought of that. Great, now we're set. You're really hard, you pull on that. And I said, you'd probably be best in something like maybe a Fujikura Ventus that has the velo core.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I have one in mind. I said, well, then we're done. Like your curiosity with Autoflex is solved.
Right.
So I actually went over and took the head and I grabbed the Ventus that he's already got and I put it in there and all of a sudden, bam, it's like perfect. And it's not that shaft as much as it is the what the shaft does.
Yeah.
Because now every company's got a very similar shaft to the Ventus. They've got strong, they've got really stiff, they've got really stable.
Mm-hmm.
So then it becomes, you know, does this feel better? Because that's what a shaft really ends up becoming. It's a feedback mechanism. It's transferring the energy that you put into it down into that head, and it matters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the first thing we start with.
No, it's not. It's not.
The same thing is true as if you talk about irons when you do it a fitting. Let's say we pick 3 or 4 iron heads and we want to try a Titleist TaylorMade Callaway ping. I'm going to pick at the beginning the same shaft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't want variables. I want to know.
You want to keep it constant.
Correct.
Find the club head that works.
Right. If you're coming in with a certain shaft and this is what you've played for a while, I'm going to put that one in and we'll just hit that one with these 4 and see what happens. Because then it's like, hey, the Titleist really wins the day for its look and feel. Great. Now let's try some different shafts and see what happens with that as well.
Yep. Yeah, I know that's been the process since I've been here for the fitters is start clubhead, get that dialed in, get the specs there dialed in, then go to the shaft, figure out the rest. You know. Then the other one I wanted to get your opinion on too was, this is I think the most common one maybe in the entire golf landscape, is that sort of, I'm not good enough to get fit.
Oh,
You know, that's a popular one.
It is. I think it is really hard because a lot of people, well, the same thing is true of golf clubs. Someone will come in and go, well, I know I can't hit that. And the reality is, like, we might have missed the club that was perfect for you because in your own head. And a great example of this was my last fitting yesterday was not a hybrid guy. Like, absolutely detests, said no, you know, took a swing and goes, I don't even want to look at this.
Just and, disgusted by hybrids.
but I, you know, and so in that realm, I have to prove to him why the fitting is so important. So he's like, I'd just rather do an iron. Okay. I grabbed a 2-iron,
like a utility,
driving, a utility, a crossover by Ping. And he hits it, and he hits it really solid. And he gets it to go kind of the distance that we're looking at. And he takes about 5 or 6 swings. And 2 of them are the distance. The other ones aren't even as good as his 5-iron. And so I looked at it, and I said, just try that. Just do this for me, okay? And I grabbed one that's adjustable, and I made some adjustments to it. And I put it in his hand, and all of a sudden, it just pops off the face. He goes, well, okay, that was really felt good. Another one. And we looked at the consistency as they're all going the same distance now. They're doing what we want. And they're actually pretty tight. And I put up the version between the 2-iron and the hybrid.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I know you're not a hybrid guy, but if you miss this 2-iron, like, you can't afford 50 yards. You didn't miss the hybrids, but even the ones that you did are still going exactly the same distance.
Yeah.
So it comes down to this idea. That last fitting of the day is a great example of what you wanted, what you asked me for. And that was, people don't think they get fitted. His buddy has been begging him for 8 years. He's got extremely old equipment.
Yeah.
8 years. And he knows someone here at corporate who continues to tell him, go get fit, go get fit, go get fit. He finally came in, and about 10 minutes into this thing, his buddy came with him. 10 minutes in is, this is so awesome. I can't believe I didn't do this sooner.
Right.
It doesn't matter the skill level, because the reality is golf is not about the skill level. It's about what you make it. It's your goals. It's what you want to do with it. We get people that come in and like, I really just need one club. Perfect. Let's find a club for you so you can get out and play and have fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens too. You know, sometimes we go with a set that's maybe just every other club. Sometimes we go with, you know,
right, like a nine or ten set.
Right. Club set. It could be someone who's just beginning. I had a young kid in yesterday. I've known his dad forever. We've golfed forever and ever. And he's like, my kid's getting into golf, never golfed. Put a club in his hand. You know, showed him how to grip the club because he didn't even know that part of it. And all of a sudden, he's just kind of making these wild swings. Pop, off goes the ball. And dad's just like, holy, this could be good.
Yeah.
Just the happiest kid in the world, you know, turns around right away. Man, did you see that? You know, that's what can happen for anyone if they just give us a chance on it.
Yeah. And I think there's also an element of, if you're really trying to go by handicap and improve your handicap.
Yeah.
Probably the higher handicaps are actually going to see more improvement on their handicap than someone lower handicap getting fit.
So, agreed.
All right, let's talk about these putters.
Yeah.
The new putters for 2024, the kind of the big couple of sort of releases that we've got this year. We've got the Ping, the extension, I guess, of the Ping PLD milled putters.
Right.
4 models in there that I actually got to go down at Ping and test. Fantastic.
And
things are awesome. They look great. Yeah.
And some other, you can do the Ping PLD milled plus. The plus is where you get to customize it too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so now all of a sudden we start talking about stampings. We start talking about colors. We start talking about like some of those things. I did an order the other day. So cool.
Yeah.
Really neat.
Yeah. And of the 4 new shapes, I guess.
Yeah.
I know there's, you know, there's the whole further extension of this, the PLD putters out there, right? There's a, right. there's a bunch of them, not just these four, but the Alley Blue 4 is my favorite of them. Yep. It's like a compact, it's a mallet, and it's certainly a high MOI mallet shape, you know, something yeah. modern looking, but it's a little more compact, and it's like squared off a little bit. And that, personally, it fits my eye as someone who right. plays the hardwood as of right now, which is a big kind of squared off mallet. Yep. But that one just is clean. Plus, you know, it's got kind of a slide arc hosel.
Yeah.
For someone like me who's kind of almost in between slide arc and straight, I'm kind of like right in the middle of the two.
Right.
So I really enjoyed that. And we had a, if you're listening to this, haven't seen it, there's a Swing Report video on the putters yep. on YouTube to go check out. We had a session with James Lee, the fitter down there.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
Also, I think you just got to check it out for his outfit, by the way, if you haven't yet.
Oh, his outfits. Every time I've been down there, outfits are outrageous.
Yeah. He was wearing a pink shirt.
Yeah.
With pink pants.
Uh-huh.
And he had a blue, like a light blue belt, light yeah. blue hat, and then like customized like FootJoy shoes.
Was he?
It was good. It was yeah, really good.
He's a veteran. Was it Air Force
or Navy? He mentioned it too. We were talking about it.
I think it was Air Force.
It might have been. Yeah. I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
But he's awesome.
Oh my gosh. But, yeah.
So anyway, we did a session with him, and he was kind of, you know, using the Pink Putter app and fitting me a little bit. And so
we do that too.
Yeah.
The Pink Putter app is so useful. I like to say in every fitting, there's the club, the swing, and the ball. And so, you know, in our putter fittings, one of the things we need to find out is, what are you doing with that club? I can't just look at you and go, oh, yeah, you're a little inside out there.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you're, you know, your lie angle or your loft. The Ping app just takes an iPhone and it uses the gyroscopes and the internal tools, and they're fine-tuned so that you, as you're putting, it gives us a really, really good understanding of what you did on each putt.
Yeah.
And then as an average, huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no one that has cornered the market on perfection, but Ping has done such a great job in getting us a lot closer to the right putter for you. And then you start taking a look at all the different shapes, you've got all the different models, you've got all the different grips mm-hmm. that you can put on. Like, every company does this to some degree, but for Ping, I think they do it with the widest breadth.
Yeah, they do.
The other one is certainly got to be mentioned is the Odyssey. The Callaway Odyssey stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The AI one and the AI milled are outrageously good.
Yeah.
And I think one for the AI milled, that's a little bit more pricey. There's just a fewer models to that. But that also goes right into the price bracket as the Pings, or goes into the Scotty Camerons and such too. And Bettinardi's, because mm-hmm. that's a phenomenal lineup. All of the putters that are on the market that are coming out this year, we talk about Bettinardi has some deeper grooves. Scotty Cameron's got deeper grooves. Ping's got some deeper milling grooves on it. Is everyone's kind of gone to a little bit of a deeper milling groove. What that does is it allows for some more points of contact, but it also kind of softens the sound. It's a little bit more quiet.
Yep. Which I prefer, you know.
Yeah, and that really is a golfer preference. It's absolutely one of the...
Oh, yeah.
So, like, even in the Ping app, one of the things it asks for is something softer or maybe a little bit louder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's asking for it, because those are some of the choices that we want to make.
And it's also, they have the options. Like, that's the cool part. You know, there's
right.
it'll recommend something that is softer a little bit, you know, based on the build mm-hmm. or the face, whatever.
And so the same thing goes into, like, the AI one, where you talk about these putters. That technology is trying to increase speed when it's needed to help gain distance control on off-center hits.
Yeah.
And I think everyone is trying to do that.
Yeah. It's the same kind of deal with driver heads. You know, the marketing this year was MOI, you know, miss hits, whereas how far is the ball going on miss hits? You know, putter, it's not as noticeable maybe, but you certainly feel it, right? When you miss hit one off the heel mm-hmm. or toe, and you kind of know, oh, this is going to, you know, this isn't going to quite get to the hole or whatever.
Well, one of the things
to see that technology being addressed is cool.
Absolutely. One of the things we've seen in the style, you've talked about, like, an answer style putter where it's a little bit thinner of a blade, whether you call it Newport or however you want to describe it for any of the companies, the kind of the double wide version, the slightly bigger version of that blade is gaining a ton of popularity all over there. Part of it is that it's a little bit more stable. So it's that rotation.
Yep.
The other part of that too is, like, we look for trends on the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the PGA Tour is where we see guys making putts or missing putts, but also we look to those guys as our trendsetter. And then we're like, oh, if you see it on the PGA Tour, you're more likely to go look at that on the company's website.
As someone who just ordered a AI-1 Cruiser Jailbird, I totally can attest to that. So,
and I think there are so many options out there. Again, when we talk about a fitting, well, we have all these options. This is the best part, is for you to literally come in and start looking at the options.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, that's the best part. We should also mention the Scotty Cameron line too.
Yeah, brand new, just launched, pre-order starting. This lineup is certainly a little bit of a departure from the previous lineups, and here's why. Two things are main focus. One, most of the stuff has gotten a little bit more compact.
Yeah, I noticed that. But try not to make it so.
Yeah.
You know, the surface area, I guess, of what you see at a dress is definitely more compact.
Yeah. The other thing that's happened to this is they've really refined the alignment feature.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've tried to do is give us different alignment features to, for instance, if you have three dots on the top, if you have a line or lines on the top, if you have this kind of like this arrowhead pointing on the 11 model, you get back into like the 9 model and the 9s have two lines a little bit closer together to kind of run like tracks. They've also kind of taken out pockets of what used to be kind of the base of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they've taken that anodized aluminum and they've created more holes through that, kind of maybe more as a visual. And they've also kind of trimmed up the lines and angled everything towards all the angles point towards that middle point of the putter to help, again, both with not only alignment, but even while you're putting is having that thing moving towards the ball and towards the target line. They made a little bit of a deeper mill mark. It's the same thing that they've got going on there. You can get different grips with Scotty Cameron, but the thing about Scotty Cameron is he's got his grip on it. It's a unique grip. I know talking with the guys last night, the fitters, it's like, oh, I don't like this grip. And I put it, in my hands and I'm like, this is awesome. Totally preference right? He's got a bunch of different grips, but the one that's coming on the new Phantom lineup it tapers off on the top and the bottom so that the middle is actually a little bit thicker. And it kind of has a little bit of a point coming off on the top, which is unique. It's different. But the reality is you're trying to achieve a different feel in your hand. So you can still get, if you wanted to, with custom orders, you can still get previous generations of the grips.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and they're going to offer that. But I also, when I was on the PGA show, I did get to kind of feel this new grip, and it is a little different. But I can definitely see kind of the ergonomic sort of like it makes sense in a way when you grip the putter kind of the most taught way of how to grip a putter.
So. Well, and what also becomes unique of that is we talk about the grip style, right? A pistol grip where it has curvature on the back that you're holding onto. It's exactly what you said. It's ergonomics. It's how does that hand sit? Because if I have something that's straighter, my hand actually sits differently.
Yeah,
so my wrist positions. The other thing is that was the current grip that they were putting on the new Phantom lineup is a little bit more of an ode to the old Baby T grip, which is that it kind of has a little bit of that texture on the backside, but it also has a little bit more of a flat paddle front, which is I still actually have. Well, first of all, I have way too many Scotty Camerons. We've already gone over this. But I have the Baby T grip on probably 6 or 7 models because that, for me, I just love the way that felt.
Mm.
So it's ergonomic for me. That's also one I absolutely want to highlight in terms of putters, though. I also want to highlight Bettinardi.
Yeah.
Again, talking about the different models, you talk about like Ping has so many different models. Bettinardi still runs with a few different lineups, right? They run with a mallet lineup like the Innovi. They still have
Studio Stock.
They still have Studio Stock, and they still have Queen Bee.
Yep.
And so you talk about, I want maybe a different sound or a different look. The Queen Bee has got a real fine honeycomb, so it's a lot louder and crisp. You get into the studio, and you get a little deeper milling.
Mm-hmm.
They have one that's kind of that double wide, like an answer style.
It's like 28 or something is the number of it.
I think so, but it's also got a sound slot in it.
Mm.
We used to call this kind of like the beach cut, which was, I know, a Scotty Cameron term. I think I'd have to go look at what it was in the Ping. But it started way back with ping because of the sound of a ping. It literally ping.
It literally was a ping.
Yeah. And so that creates almost a different, unique sound with the extreme weighting. And you talk about like there are so many different choices out there. And I think putters have more choices than any other club category. There are more models per company than anything else.
Yeah.
We talk about like a wedge. You might have a wedge and there might be 27 different loft or grind combinations, but it's still just the wedge.
Yeah.
We start talking about all these different putters. This is also where I look at it. Putter fitting is probably the least used option for us.
But probably the most strokes on the course.
Yeah, but probably is the most important.
Yeah.
Because if you're making putts, your score should go down.
Yeah.
And if you're making putts, we think we'd have a little bit more fun. And you know, putting accounts for about 40% of our strokes.
Yep.
And so if all of a sudden we always talk about this is a big Larry thing too.
Yeah.
Speed, speed, speed.
Yeah.
We get speed control. But if we do stop, this is Callaway, their Odyssey lineup. The AI1 is all about reducing three putts.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about getting more speed to get closer to the hole, even on a miss, to get you less three putts. That's what they're highlighting at. That's what we're highlighting at, too.
Yeah,
we're like all that. Looking at less three putts is going to make your – should make your score go down.
Yeah, I think there's not an area of the game that has a stronger correlation to playing better than making more putts.
And, I was like, someone, well, you know, am I good enough for a fitting? There's not a single person who could say that about putting. Like, if we're going to help with your game, just start with a putter fitting.
Yeah.
It's something everyone can do. Everyone can practice regardless of skill or athleticism. That is the one thing. You can go play putt-putt golf. You can go play mini golf. You can go to a putting course. You can go out to your local golf course and putt. It's a part of the game that is accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that.
We love to see people in for that. So sign up for some putter fittings.
I like that. That's a good way to wrap it up, I think, is kind of promoting those putter fittings. We have great technology at the stores too to help with that. The Quintech stuff is awesome. Also the Ping Putter app as well on the little iPhone. So golfers, go get that fitting. If it's a putter fitting, that's awesome. Otherwise, of course, any of the other clubs in your bag you might want to get fit for, see someone like Tyler, schedule that fitting either in store at any of our store locations, or we have the online team as well that can have that good conversation with you, get everything dialed in. So Tyler, thanks for joining today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the invite. I appreciate it.